Purpose, 218 West Burkett.
Disaster can strike and it's never convenient. Captain Clean is always on standby 24/7 to respond. From sewage backups to unexpected water inside your home, we can help. From fire and smoke damage to the unsightly mold found growing on your wall, our experts are here to help you from start to finish. Call Captain Clean today for your free consult. Captain Clean, 672-0726. Affordable solutions for healthy living.
We clean more for you.
The following message is presented by the Home Loan Center of First Federal Bank and Trust on Coffeen Avenue.
Hi, my name is Alexis with the Sheridan College Dental Hygiene Program, and February is Children's Dental Health Month. Did you know 50% of kids will have a cavity by the time they are 6 years old? Fluoride is like a shield for your teeth, keeping them healthy and strong. Using a toothpaste and mouthwash with fluoride every day can help strengthen your teeth and keep the cavities away. Come see us at the Sheridan College Dental Hygiene Clinic to receive a dental cleaning and a fluoride treatment at a reduced cost.
Izzy,
Alexa,
Sunshine,
Dorothy,
good girl, MAGA,
B2, come on everybody, let's herd up.
Okay, ladies, there's a lot of people counting on you, so let's get out there and have some calves.
We're back with round two of Shorty's Countdown to Calving. There are 9 chances for you to pick the date you think each cow will have her calf. If you pick the right date, you could win a $50 prize. Play round two of Shorty's Countdown to Calving on the contest page on SheridanMedia.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Thursday, February 26th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting. And this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Sheridan County Sheriff Levi Dominguez and Undersheriff Lieutenant Doug Sanders. Good morning, gentlemen, and welcome back.
Good morning, Floyd.
Good morning.
Now, we are wrapping up the 2025 year. I've spoke with other law enforcement pertaining to various year-end reports. Yours is still being accumulated. I think a lot of others are as well. This is a lot of information. You got to kind of cross-check it, double-check it, make sure those T's are crossed, the I's are dotted. So as we look back, what has really stood out to either one of you so far about the 2025 year? Were there any surprises that come to mind right off bat?
I think the only surprise that I can recall case-specific-wise is probably the airplane crash that we had on the mountain this last fall. Otherwise, I think it's been a pretty steady year. And if anything, I think that dry weather and the lack of snow has really kind of changed, I guess, calls for service on the mountain specifically.
Absolutely. Sure.
Yeah. You know, I would agree with Lieutenant Sanders. You know, the other thing that we're really looking at is kind of our fraud cases and our scam cases. You know, I think those are kind of on a trajectory that are just increasing every year, you know, that we're seeing, and something that kind of stands out to us. And we appreciate the opportunity to come on here every month to talk about certain scams and frauds and things that we're seeing, because, you know, that's, if we can educate our community, the public, you know, and let them know that, you know, these are occurring and things. And, you know, it takes a lot of man hours from law enforcement's perspective to try to oftentimes, you know, investigate these to where we hit a dead end and a roadblock. And so, you know, if we can educate the public in our community and something seems fishy and those things, and we talk about it every month, but just stop, you know, put the brakes on and hopefully it'll save them some hardship. And, you know, when they get to us and we can look at that and go that, because we have noticed, and I think Doug's, you know, probably putting together lots of man hours this past year in frauds alone.
It's incredible to think about. Every time you think you get a foot of ahead of something like that, something else kind of kicks us in the gut. The tools that these bad actors have at their disposal just seems to grow by the day. We've talked about their ability to fake even your voice, Sheriff. You know, stealing public appearances that you've made, putting it into an AI, and then having that AI basically use your voice to say whatever they type in. That's a scary, scary thing.
I know. And it gives me an out, right? I can say, I'm not going to come in shared media, public pulse anymore. I'm not going to, you know, write articles in the paper. Yeah. I'm not going to go to events. I'm just going to be this hermit at home, right? And do everything from home, right? Is that my out?
You're out.
No, you're absolutely right. Technology is just, it's crazy. You know, we see, I mean, we've got young kids or, you know, Doug's got older, you know, but like, we've got kids that have gone through that, and we've talked before on the show that it's, I've always told parents this, that, you know, it's more difficult and scary being a parent in today's age.
Yeah.
Likewise being a child growing up in today's age because of technology, but just being a human, just being present in today's age for everybody, you know, from our elderly getting, you know, targeted for scams and everything just because of technology and how it's grown and how it's, you know, gotten from point A to point B, you know, and it's these bad actors are taking full advantage of that. And so, you know, we're always looking at different ways. How can we better prepare our community, the public? How can we take advantage of the same technology to hopefully combat some of this? And so, you know, we're always looking for the future.
In the sheriff's office, is there a dedicated team that you bring in? Maybe it's just a couple of individuals. They could even look at this as possibly an extra duty on some regard. Is it, you know, I want you guys to watch out for this. I want you to kind of stay on the edge of tech and let me know if some of these tools can be used in improper ways. We've got a guy here. He brought ChatGPT and all these other little AIs back when they were nothing. They were just jokes. When he introduced these things to us years ago, they weren't mainstream. They weren't being talked about. He just is one of those guys that stays right on top of this stuff. And as I said, we used it as a joke. You know, it was something funny. And then he started scaring us and he said, come in here because this is your voice and it'll say whatever I want it to say. And that's eerie to hear that come out of a computer. And boy, howdy. I mean, it didn't sound exactly like me, but it was close enough.
Sure. Yeah. You know, when we look at you know, whether putting a task force together or is there a certain division within the sheriff's office to do, we don't. I mean, all of our deputies are investigating this. If it rises to the level of more man hours, we have our investigator take a look at it. But what I'll tell you is when we were looking at numbers and Doug was, you know, pulling stats for this past year, is we certainly, you know, one of those is there enough that maybe we would look at that, but you know, we don't have the staffing to do that.
I mean, resources.
14% budget cut last year. I mean, trying to, you know, add positions. And so then when you're starting to take, you know, these deputies and they're, you know, doing a lot of seat time, you know, typing up search warrants and these to get to, you know, what we're doing is we're taking that staff out, you know, they're in there, they're doing this type of thing. And then they're not actually out in the communities doing proactive police work. So that's another challenge, right? So we're trying to find that happy medium. So continuing to educate the public, continuing to do these types of things and community outreach on these. But yeah, it's certainly, you know, we don't necessarily have just a division. Now, larger law enforcement agencies, they do. They have a fraud department. They have a scam division, you know, but we don't have that luxury here being a smaller agency. I'll say that our staff is well attuned to looking at all those. They work well. They reach out to different resources and other law enforcement agencies, each other, you know, and work well together and on trying to see how we can best investigate it. But oftentimes, you know, we tell the victims this, it usually comes to a road, you know, a dead end road or a roadblock. And just because they're just, you know, trying to trace the money and where it goes. And, you know, these bad actors, they, like you said, they just are so much further ahead of that.
Mm-hmm. And it's their career. You know, they've got nothing but time to focus on finding ways around alternate routes, you know, whereas our deputies, it's almost, folks, try to imagine one of those bar graphs. And you want to increase one bar, but as you do, the other one slowly starts to go down. And that's essentially trying to run a law enforcement office on a various budget. If I increase investigations here, I'm going to have to start lacking over here, and we just can't let that happen.
Especially with what we're facing, you know, with, you know, this last year with, you know, you know, having to reduce budgets and, you know, hiring freezes, those types of things, right? That's one less patrol deputy we can hire, you know, one less detention deputy on top of a, you know, 14% budget cut, you know, all those different things. It's tough to look at, you know, hey, do we add staff? And then when you're trying to look at how can we increase our wages for our staff to retain them, recruit them. So all those things, you know, you're putting that together. I mean, that's another thing that Lieutenant Sanders gets to, you know, be a part of this year with the budget stuff. So he's, you know, drinking from a fire hose in a sense, but yeah, we're getting there.
And you know, good law enforcement absolutely deserve good, strong, competitive wages.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's one of those situations where it's always so dang tough because your budgets are just a tough subject. All right, now let's talk about what we've seen. We will talk about another scam, folks. So stay tuned for that. It'll be in our scam portion, as it always is, towards the end of the show. But there is another one that they want to bring to your attention. So stay tuned for that. First, we're going to talk about wrapping up the 2025 years. Now, Undersheriff, you brought up a mountain patrol. That's something that my wife and I were actually talking about just the other day. I was curious. With all the weather being as nice as it is, I would imagine a lot of folks are still kind of taking advantage of this, heading up the hill, maybe even wanting to see some snow. So let's start with what it is. What is the purpose of our Mountain Patrol, Undersheriff?
So Mountain Patrol is to essentially supplement law enforcement patrol officers up on the mountain. Forest Service law enforcement only has, I believe, unless it's changed, one North Bighorn Mountain area law enforcement officer and one South Bighorn Mountain law enforcement officer. Federal law enforcement, they only enforce federal statutes. So any typical crime that you'll likely see on the mountain will routinely or most likely be handled by your local law enforcement, us being Sheridan County. So this provides deputies with an overtime opportunity and the opportunity for us to supplement our regular staffing with additional focus patrols on the mountain. We have dedicated patrol areas or routes that we hit. We'll routinely hit up the campground hosts. We'll hit up the mountain resorts. This focus patrol, though, is pretty specific to summer and fall times. We usually don't go up there in the winter and perform mountain patrol. Obviously, we'll go up there call dependent or staffing dependent as well.
Now, when it comes to deputies, they logged 157 hours, more than 3,325 miles this past year. What does that actually look like for those individuals out there?
It varies with our routes. We keep it specific to say you have two deputies that want to go up and work at the same day. We'll keep one on the north end, one on the south end. But it, I think, somewhat varies by the time and if it's weekend or weekday that you go up. On one end, if you hit the weekends, obviously we might hit more of the Park Reservoir area, for example, because that's usually a pretty busy area on the weekends, maybe Sibley Lake. On weekdays, it's going to be a little bit slower, most likely. We'll hit the resorts. We'll hit the campground house. Generally speaking, we always try to hit those same areas just to ensure that people know we're up there. And if there's any concern that they have with the campers or the people coming through, that we're up there and we can assist with anything.
And as you kind of pointed out earlier, there's other law enforcement up there. They've got, I mean, Wyoming Game and Fish has their own law enforcement component with the wardens. Bighorn National Forest certainly has a law enforcement. We see him driving around over the place. Yeah. So, I mean, there's other law enforcement up there. But as you said, Undersheriff, when it comes to the actual citations and dealing with this kind of stuff, they may see the offense. They call and notify your office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that all depends. It depends on, you know, if it's, you know, a violation of some sort of, you know, national forest regulation or law. You know, Forest Service law enforcement will handle and take care of that, right? Same with Game and Fish. If it's a Game and Fish violation, they'll take care of that. If it's state statute related, you know, thefts or other those types of things, you know, we'll certainly investigate that too. I think law enforcement up there, you know, our law enforcement officer with the Bighorn National Forest Service does a great job. He'll investigate what he can. And then if it's something that can be locally investigated or local charges, he'll certainly look at that because that might be another avenue for that. So those are those different types of things, you know. And so those hours, you know, that, that Under Sheriff Sanders was talking about, those are all, you know, basically from, I believe, June 1st through the end of September, you know, so that's when we have our law enforcement staff up there. And, you know, the big goal that we're trying to be up there is just to make contacts with individuals, have that positive interaction with those individuals recreating, enjoying the Bighorn National Forest Service, letting them know law enforcement is up there to be safe, have a good time. And you know, that's one of our bigger outreaches of just, you know, letting folks know that, yeah, we're up there if you need something.
And one of the big draws to our county in the first place, you know, people come here to kind of get away from everybody, to get a little remote and head up and actually enjoy some of those viewscapes up there. But it is good to see, you know, a sheriff drive by every once in a while, just so you know, okay, civilization is still here. We're still in safe territory.
Yeah.
Now, let's shift to livestock patrol. Something that you and I have talked about at length in the past, Sheriff, because I was naive. For so long, I thought, you know, the cattle rustling days are over. Well, they're not. We still have sheriff deputies out there checking on things, taking reports from our local producers, keeping things safe out there. How were we this year?
Yeah, you went. Want to talk about it?
Statistically, we did pretty well. We dedicated 159 hours to livestock patrol this year with over 4,259 miles traveled. With that, we had 7 carrier contacts, handled some livestock complaints. A lot of what we did as well was locating livestock that were loose out on the county roads.
It happens. And highways.
Yep. We issued warnings, no citations, 0 arrests. We did multiple traffic stops, and we investigated some cases associated with livestock.
Now, what exactly is a carrier contact for those individuals who don't know the lingo?
Carrier contact basically is nothing more than it's just a documented form to say we made contact with, let's say, a driver that was operating on a public roadway and carrying livestock.
It's just big livestock trucks.
Yeah, just documenting the encounter, essentially.
Yeah, it could be, you know, a producer hauling livestock, horses from point A to point B in a horse trailer, in some sort of livestock trailer, larger livestock. Yeah. So, but yeah, you know, this program has been a great program, a great partnership with the Wyoming Livestock Board that we entered into. We were one of the first, I think, sheriff's offices throughout the state of a few back in 2022 that started partnering with the Wyoming Livestock Board to supplement their law enforcement investigations within Sheridan County. I think we've talked about this years past. I want to say it was, you know, I don't have anecdotally, I think back in 2016, 2017, the state reduced the number of livestock investigators substantially. Like, I mean, cut them to just 2 livestock investigators throughout the state. And there was multiple livestock. I don't know what the number was before. So you can imagine. So those cases were being investigated by livestock investigators throughout the state. And then they cut it to 2 livestock investigators. All of that was then falling on the shoulders of local sheriff, you know, the counties, 23 counties, the sheriff's offices throughout the state having to investigate that. So, you know, not typically, well, it's a crime, criminal statute of rustling or anything like that, theft of livestock and cattle. And in those regards, it was something new that a lot of our deputies and throughout the state hadn't dealt with a whole lot, right? So we were sending them to classes. Wyoming Livestock Board was great. They were coming and training us on this. And then, you know, those cuts, they had some additional money. And so they're like, hey, what can we do? And so an agreement was set in place and said, hey, if we do some of this where some of our deputies with they're off, you know, they're not on their normal shifts, they can come in off duty, they can be patrolling Sheridan County and then, you know, and do these livestock patrols and kind of working with the Wyoming Livestock Board of, hey, what are some areas of concern? What do we need to be looking out for? And it's just been a great program. We've, again, relationships have been built, you know, with our producers, with the carriers, with everybody, the ranch community in Sheridan County. And it's been, you know, helping. And it also bolsters our law enforcement presence, right? So when we have our deputies that are on duty providing law enforcement, Sheridan County scheduled, we have deputies coming in off duty to provide law enforcement or livestock patrol. That just bolsters our law enforcement presence throughout Sheridan County. And it's a win-win for not only the sheriff's office, but for our community.
And making great contacts. Yeah. You know, in my head, I've got the image of the producer out there doing work. Deputy pulls up. Maybe there's a window conversation, as and you know,
often, yes,
or even the two trucks meeting each other on the road. When I was a little kid, I always knew we were going to be there a while. When my dad turned off the truck and leaned out, get comfortable, dad's going to have a conversation with the deputy.
Yep.
So that stuff happened quite a bit, and mm-hmm. and you end up learning quite a bit once you get old enough to really start paying attention. The passing of information that way. So that's really great to hear. And again, the relationships that are developed
These extra, partnerships that we have with Mountain Patrol, the Big Horn National Forest Service Livestock Patrol. Quick story, early on in my, as being a patrol deputy and getting to partake in the Mountain Patrol, I swung into a campground one early morning and came across a family, a very, family that was kind of similar age into Melissa and I, their kids. And I got out, talked with them. It was a family that had just moved out here from another state. They were learning the area camping. And I sat down, drank my coffee. I had breakfast and I sat with them and just enjoyed themselves. And we are still family friends to this day. That was 12 years ago. And, meeting them. And so our families are still together because it was like we exchange information like, hey, if you, those types of things. And so those are the types of contacts that our deputies have with folks, out in the Bighorn National Forest when they're doing mountain patrol. It's what they're doing when they're doing livestock patrol. It's just great programs that we have that are set aside to just kind of provide that law enforcement, but just to be a part of the community.
Yeah. And I love it when you tell stories like that, because a lot of times within news, the only time we really address law enforcement is interactions, dealing with laws being broken, things having to be taken care of. And so having that good positive news behind it, I love hearing that too. We don't hear enough stories about interactions like that. On that, I do have to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan County Sheriff's Office when we return. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Ready to level up your career?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, our people are our greatest strength, and we're hiring full and part-time tellers to join our team.
Enjoy great pay, outstanding benefits, and a culture that empowers and supports you every step of the way.
Because at First Federal, we invest in you with the tools, training, and opportunities to grow both personally and professionally.
Take the next step at eFirstFederal.bank and discover a career that truly invests in you.
First Federal Bank and Trust is an equal opportunity employer.
Unlikely friends, the excitable hare and the wise tortoise meet for the greatest race on earth in the joyful stage adaptation of Aesop's beloved fable as it bursts into life across the YO Theater stage Sunday, March 8th at 4 p.m. The hare and tortoise explores friendships, opposites, and growing up while reminding us that slow and steady can sometimes win the day. Get your tickets for the hare and tortoise available now at the YO box office or online at yotheater.com.
Let this be the day that I learn the secret. A family that lives forever. A spring that stops the clock. Imagine the price the world would pay for a single drop.
Winnie Foster, imagine it. No growing up, no goodbyes. Just every tomorrow you could ever dream of.
But Jesse...
Find out what happens when time stands still. Tongue River High School presents Tuck Everlasting.
Performing March 12th, 13th, and 14th at 6 p.m. in the Tongue River High School Auditorium.
Grab your tickets at the Tongue River High School office or through the TRHS website.
Don't fear death, fear an unlived life.
Tuck Everlasting is presented by arrangement with Concord Theatricals. Book by Claudia Shear and Tim Federle. Music by Chris Miller. Lyrics by Nathan Tyson. Based on the novel Tuck Everlasting by Natalie Babbitt.
If you haven't signed up for the Sheridan Media Newsletter, well, you'll find some of the top news stories of the week. Community events, local sports, weather, as well as the latest movies from Centennial Theater. What's happening at Bio Theater? Discover fun facts, local photos and videos, Sheridan history, country bounty links, as well as links to some of your favorite businesses and promotions. It's emailed every Thursday morning. If you don't get the newsletter, you're missing out. Click on the Sheridan Media Newsletter button that's on the front of our website at SheridanMedia.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. With us this morning, Sheridan County Sheriff Levi Dominguez and our Undersheriff, Lieutenant Doug Sanders. Now, let's talk about Red Grade Road. It sounds like there's maybe been a little bit of activity up there. It is officially restricted right now to everything but track vehicles, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, this winter, It's been a challenge, right? With the lack of snow we've had, and you know, so January 9th we restricted Red Grade Road to tracked vehicles only. Last year, the commissioners, we have the Red Grade resolution, which officially restricts Red Grade to tracked vehicles beginning December 15th to April 1st. And, you know, for years when we've had winters like this, never to this extent, you know, folks want to get up to the mountain, those individuals that have cabins up there, in those areas and in the, you know, hey, is there a way, you know, cause tracked vehicles on dirt is no good and those types of things. And so working with the county commissioners, they amended the resolution that kind of allows some, you know, flexibility within that. So while it still can be restricted beginning December 15th, it allows that to be moved or adjusted. And it gives kind of that, I don't want to say decision-making to the sheriff's office and Road and Bridge, right? So we kind of evaluate that. And so there's a lot of things that go into that, you know, when the community, you know, is asking about that. We work really closely with the trail management crew that's up on the mountain that are grooming the trails for the snowmobiles, you know, because they typically will groom when there's enough snow. They groom all the way across Red Grade, even down to the snowmobile, you know, to the Red Grade turnouts. And that way the snowmobilers can go up there, you know, on years like this. Right now they're only grooming, you know, they were making it to the Big Goose Ranger Station, you know, up on top. And so earlier on, you know, after December 15th, we had allowed, you know, it to remain open to wheeled vehicles up until the grooming section. What we were finding is people were driving through that, were driving onto the groom tracks. They were ruining the groom trails. And so, you know, having to make that tough decision, okay, we've got to restrict it to tracked vehicles only, you know, and these were individuals. Not only was it just folks going up there, but yeah, some of it, and I'm not putting any blame on one particular group of people or the others, but you know, it was everybody was doing it, not just people that didn't know better. But, and so last year we looked at doing some different things as well with this resolution change. We had put some road barriers, you know, some barricades up there, you know, same thing. It's open to the groomed trails. People were damaging the barricades, you know, they were taking them, dragging them. You know, we had one older couple that, while those barricades were damaged and removed, they drove up, you know, because it, you know, I think we had our message was, hey, you can travel up to the, it'll be, it's closed. There's barricades there.
You'll see them.
Yeah.
Right?
You can't see them. Well, they weren't there because somebody decided to drag the barricades out. They continued to drive. They got stuck and they spent a night or two, you know, and it was, you know, search and rescue. We had to go up there and get them. And I mean, they were in bad shape because, you know, an elderly couple. So those are the types of decisions that we're having to work with to make. But this winter has also, you know, made us scratch our heads a little bit and kind of come together. You know, we're in contact with, you know, a handful of the cabin owners up there, the recreationalists, the trail management, Bighorn National Forest, and trying to figure out ways, hey, how can we do this better next year and the years to come? And so we're exploring options. You know, we're exploring the idea if we can get like a digital sign up at the, you know, the base of Red Grade that we can control from the sheriff's office or Road and Bridge. And, you know, we can change that status working with the trail management system, you know, directly from there. The cabin owners give us great feedback and like, hey, the roads are great. Great. We can, hey, you know, red grades, you know, restricted to wheeled vehicles 8 miles ahead when grooming starts, you know, something like that. And it's flashing, you know, we can put four wheel drive chains only, you know, restricted to tracked vehicles 8 miles ahead, those types of things. And then we get, you know, a handful of weeks that we're getting and folks can get up there, we can do that. And so it becomes difficult when we're having to go up there every other day and change those signs and things. So, those are different options we're exploring. You know, I know we've got, you know, it's a hurdle to climb because not everybody likes that. You know, I understand. I think the last time that that sign deal was brought up, that some folks that lived in the area, like, hey, we don't want a flashing sign right there.
Right, kind of removes the picturesque.
Yeah. And so, and I understand that, but we've got to come up with something that works for everybody, you know, moving forward. And so those are the types of things that we're looking at. And so it's becoming, but we understand folks that are, you know, asking, you know, hey, we want to get up there and things. And also reminding people when I have phone calls with them, I'm like, yeah, if we were to open this up to wheeled vehicles right now and you can get up to wherever the grooming starts, you have to remember that if you don't have a cabin, you know, in one of those areas, that the Bighorn National Forest, they close all of their Forest Service roads to wheeled vehicles beginning December 15th.
And that's a staunch rule.
That's a staunch rule. So, you know, when you talk about, they can certainly drive, if we were to open it back up to wheeled vehicles, right? You can stay on red grade, you know, maybe 6-8 miles that you get up to wherever the groomed starts, but you can't go off on the, you know, the other other roads because those are all closed unless you're, you know, unless you're able to get up and you can get, you know, a snowmobile or something. And I get that. So those are things that we're looking at working out, but they would, you know, if you want to take your four wheeler up there, your side by side, you got to stay on red grade until, and then it's all closed. Forest Service roads are closed to wheeled vehicles. And so, those are, you know, I mean, that's kind of what we're trying to balance and what we're working through with the community and the public and everybody that, you know, everybody, we all have a stake in that. You know, it's public land up there, right? There's folks that have cabins up there. So it truly is everybody. And so trying to find that happy medium for everybody where resource damage isn't an issue. Safety, number one is safety. I should have said that first, that, you know, we got to keep everybody safe. And then resource damage and how can we get folks access up to there?
What, that is a challenge. It's one of those situations trying to please everybody all the time. And there's going to be someone, no matter what. I think everyone in public service has learned this. No matter what you do, that scenario does not exist. There's going to be somebody upset about something. And sometimes it's just going to be the way because everyone's got to stay safe. Resources have got to be preserved. And when we say resources, we're not talking too much about, you know, woods getting damaged, but roads, landscape. These things get tore up, and I've seen an area tore up, you know, during muddy situations. Someone decided to go up to this beautiful, beautiful, picturesque scenery type of grassy area, and they decided that was a great place to do a couple donuts and just ripped it to nothing. Now, that's ruining a resource for everybody on a piece of public land.
Yeah, and you look at the cause and effect and what happens is, you know, that particular road gets damaged. It takes longer for it potentially to get opened up and to be safe for access to others. Forest Service is having to spend more time and resources in and money to get those, you know, things open back up. And I understand, you know, the argument of it's public land and those types of things. But again, safety is key. And we got to preserve it so everybody can use it and access it. And so, you know, if we can find ways that folks will do that responsibly, I'm all in. You know, if we could have had folks be responsible and respect the, you know, kind of the parameters that we had put on safety and other things last year with some of those, we could have maybe, you know, done that. But, you know, I mean, it's, you know, some folks, you know, unfortunately, and I don't want to say that ruin it for everybody, but we have to think about safety. And so when we have folks that, travel past that area because barricades are no longer there because somebody took them and tore them and took them away. And now we have folks stuck and stranded and, you know, can, you know, those types of things, then we have to, you know, be cautious of that. We have to, you know, understand that that's a huge safety.
And I just want to thank Search and Rescue for going up there and getting those folks. That could have turned out really badly. Yeah. And, you know, removing barricades might seem like a quote unquote an innocent thing to do, but I hope whoever did is listening to this now and they realize maybe it's not.
I wish we could have held those individuals accountable that did that for that because they put some lives at risk.
Yeah,
last year. And if we could certainly have known who did that, we would have certainly held them accountable because that is something that, you know, the sheriff's office does not take lightly. And really has a zero tolerance for that because it becomes a safety issue.
Absolutely. On that, I am going to take another quick commercial break. More with our Sheridan County Sheriff's Office when we return. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Ready to level up your career?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, our people are our greatest strength, and we're hiring full and part-time tellers to join our team.
Enjoy great pay, outstanding benefits, and a culture that empowers and supports you every step of the way.
Because at First Federal, we invest in you with the tools, training, and opportunities to grow both personally and professionally.
Take the next step at eFirstFederal.bank and discover a career that truly invests in you.
First Federal Bank and Trust is an equal opportunity employer.
America is at an inflection point. This is President Trump's last term. It's our last chance to save America. With these high stakes, Wyoming can't give our congressional seat to another rhino. Liz Cheney sold us out. She is the face of betrayal. Never again. Reed Raisner will represent the beating heart of the America First movement. Reed Raisner will have President Trump's back. Always.
I'm Reed Raisner. In Wyoming, our word is our bond. So let me tell you where I stand. Our Second Amendment is sacred. God gave us the right to defend our families. Border security is national security. I'm ready to fight alongside President Trump to deport criminal illegal aliens. And like you, I know politicians spend too much damn money. I'll keep Washington out of your pockets. I approve this message because America First means keeping your word.
Paid for by Reed Raisner for Wyoming.
Stomach growling? Don't wait. Gunslingers has you covered. Bite into their hand-breaded fried chicken with mashed potatoes and gravy, coleslaw, and buttery biscuits with honey. Craving a burger? Try their new smash burgers. And yeah, ice cream for dessert. No time to sit? Roll up to the drive-thru window and get it delivered straight to your door with DoorDash. Open 10 a.m. Monday to Saturday at 901 Long Drive inside the old Sinclair gas station. Gunslingers. Cluck yeah.
Hi, this is Kayla Carr with Sheridan Honda. Life moves fast, so should your auto service. Whether you drive a Honda, Jeep, Ford, or any other make, our expert technicians have you covered. We service all makes and models with same-day appointments always available. We offer loaner cars and shuttle service anywhere in Sheridan. Exceptional customer service, all makes and models, same-day appointments. It's not just a dealership. It's Sheridan Honda.
A bearing seizing ain't like changing a spare. If it locks up pulling horses, you stop right there, horses and all, till the wrecker comes. That's why Dalton's RV in Sheridan is offering a $50 per tire bearing pack, plus parts and tax, flatbeds, stock trailers, utility trailers, RVs, and campers. Dalton's RV, Heartland Drive in Sheridan. Handle it now before your trailer decides where you're stopping.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with Sheridan County Sheriff Levi Dominguez and Sheridan County Undersheriff Lieutenant Doug Sanders. Now, I promised it to you folks here on the show. we really do try to dedicate, and there has been times that my mouth just kind of keeps going and going, and we haven't had time to cover it. So I will make it a point to try and make sure that in the last part of the show, from here on out, we're going to get the scam of the month in here for you, because it is important. The sheriff put a lot of emphasis on this. I told you it was coming. It's a newer one. Let's talk about Facebook Marketplace and puppies under sheriff. My goodness, you know, they're really playing on human emotion here, aren't they?
Oh, they very much are. I would say that Facebook Marketplace is probably the primary social media sales site that we see scams on, at least for our office. This particular scam was one we wanted to talk about last month. We just didn't get time for it, but we did see it a couple months ago, and it's a scam involving the sales of puppies. I think a lot of times, me myself, when I go through Facebook and I see Marketplace, you kind of see some of those scams because you see them listed everywhere. It'll be the same picture. And it might be different locations that you see it within Marketplace. This one specifically was a puppy that was for sale on Marketplace. The potential buyer, which is our victim, reached out to them through social media to purchase the puppy. They sent money that way, and I believe this one was Green Dot cards. And so that's what the sheriff was talking about earlier with regard to these scammers becoming more sophisticated, right, and finding a means to separate themselves and their identity, as well as our ability to track the money, right? If it's Green Dot or the prepaid debit cards that you see and they want those numbers associated with it, that is very hard for law enforcement to track. And that's generally not something somebody, at least in my experience, when I'm selling something, I have never asked for that as payment. In this one, it was Green Dot cards that were sent. They try to, when they have tricked the victim, and sold the scam, so to speak. They also, we've seen this in other scams, including this one, where they try to arrange their own delivery. So now that they've tricked the individual, they want to continue with it, right? Because that's even more money they can get from the individual. So if they throw in the transportation, then there's no third-party transportation that the victim's going to arrange with that might, you know, inform the victim that, hey, this is a scam. I haven't got the dog. Mm-hmm. So they're able to get additional funds, and then they can say, yep, we ran into an issue with hauling the puppy, or there was paperwork needed we don't have. There's an additional cost here. This one, they had multiple people reaching out with regard to the same scam too. So that's kind of a red flag, right? Different people reaching out to you with the same thing. And I think a lot of it was through text or potential phone calls. So phone calls and like cell phone numbers are hard for us to track too, because
burner phones are a real thing, right?
Yep. So, unfortunately in this circumstance, they were able to, get a fair amount of money from the victim before the victim became privy of the scam and contacted us.
And it hits you in places where you don't think it's going to. Puppies doesn't seem like it's going to be a scam issue. I've spoken with law enforcement before. There's been things like dirt bikes, all kinds of things up there, even houses, things for rent. That's one that almost got me when I was living in Cheyenne. Thank God I stopped communication with the individual online and went to the realty office that they said that they were going through. And the realty office is the one who said, wow, we've had someone living in that house for 6 months now. So no, it's not up. You're being scammed.
And a couple things I like just for the audience to remember to look out for is they always try this time component. They always very much, they want you to feel like, hey, you're going to miss out on this sweet, great deal if you don't act right now, right? They don't want you to think about the potential purchase or any odd things that you may see about it. So they try to hurry you through the process. Sometimes it might be a deal that's too good to be true. And so they try to sell that. You know, you don't want to miss out on a good opportunity before someone else snags it up. Some things to think about just doing is take your time, be vigilant, look through, do your social media research, right? Look up that same advertisement, because a lot of times it's the same thing, you know, that you can see elsewhere. Google as well is a good resource for the search website. You can enter in the picture and they can show you if it's popped up anywhere else.
If it's a stock image somewhere.
You got it. And a lot of times it's like the same descript information for the photo, and it's everywhere, right? But then different towns it will be listed in with a different name, right? Another thing is think outside the box. You know, if you see something like this and it's a puppy, say, hey, I want to send me a video of the puppy, right? And they can timestamp it off their phone. They can show their phone on the video camera to show, you know, the time and the date, and they can send you a real life puppy. And some of these we've seen these scams, and specific to like a old puppy scam, is it was a different picture of the dog that they finally got. And then they realized this after the fact. They're like, yeah, they didn't even send me the same dog every time. It was a different one. So just things to look out for and just obviously be vigilant with.
You know, I would say if anybody out there who is honest and they're using like these green dots and any other kind of card that you can just go purchase, pre-purchase gift cards, I think they're called, just stop doing that. Because for me, that's the automatic red flag right there. You know, if I can't trace my money, I'm not going to do business with you. I can tell you that you're probably illegit right off the spot. It's just kind of curious anymore, these wire transfers, these things that go through. And with those codes on the back of those cards, that's all they need is the number. They don't even need the physical card itself.
Yeah, correct.
So all these red flags pop up. What should somebody do if they think, you know what, I think I've got a scammer here?
There's a couple great means to go through doing that. Obviously, you can inform local law enforcement. From what we've seen, a lot of these scammers, though, are not local to our area. So we may become aware of it, obviously, through them. Let us know. What we can also do is reach out to other agencies if we know specifically where they're at. What I would also suggest that the potential victim looks at and does is through Facebook, and I think all social media does this, you can flag that post or that item as being a scam.
I warn others.
Correct. And hopefully get it shut down or taken down.
Yeah, Sheriff, are you still compiling your list of scams that people come in contact with?
Yeah, we if individuals are seeing scams, and even if they don't become a victim to it, we do like you to give us a call. So we know that what we're doing is effective, right? Coming on here, educating the public and saying, hey, I think this is a scam. I didn't fall for it, but they let us know, because we can kind of see what scams are currently going out there. So then we get another phone call an hour later or the next day, and it's the same scam. We can really start to really, you know, we've put out press releases before saying, hey, this scam is hitting hard in our area, right? So they're targeting a certain population, a certain demographic within our community, and we're going to try to reach out to those folks to give them warning, just so we can see that. So, yeah, absolutely. If individuals come across something, we may make a records case on it just so we know, or we may take it down. Our front office staff is good at taking them down and looking at those. And then, so then we usually reach out, you know, Doug or I were looking and we'll, you know, hey, what do we got scams this month? You know, if we're seeing them, but, absolutely. We want to know, even if you didn't become victim of it and you were like, hey, we got it because we know that we're being effective in what we're doing.
And, so notify the sheriff, folks, if you think it's a scam. Another tip that I've learned over the years, go to the FBI's website. They're great about listing scams that seem to be kind of currently in the, you know, I guess you could call it a cycle, because as soon as one stops, they go back to other ones that they know have worked. So they do this little cycle where we might not see a scam for X amount of time, and then they hit that same place over and over again. We're going to go back to the dirt bike. We're going to go back to trying to get people to rent a place that doesn't exist. They know what they're doing. And as I said before, folks, this is their career. This is what these folks spend time on. So cross-reference everything that comes, you know, as the undersheriff said, that just looks too good to be true. That's because it probably is. All right. One, I got about 3 minutes left, sir. Let's talk about the statute of the month. What does Wyoming Statute 31-5-955A address?
So this one specific, it's one I've seen here over the past month. It's no person shall drive any motor vehicle with any sign, poster, or other material or substance upon or crack within the front windshield, side, or rear windows of the vehicle which materially obstructs, obscures, or impairs the driver's clear view of the highway or any intersecting highway. And basically what I've seen that is frosted windshields in the morning. So if your windshield's frosty and you can't see out of it, this is where this statute specifically comes in. It's a $100 fine. Primarily what I've seen is the frosted windshields. Take your time, scrape off that windshield. I have a law enforcement colleague that affectionately named this Tank Commander, because you'll see some people that either don't do it or they just scratch this like 4-inch by 4-inch box. Yep. And so that's all they could see through, which still doesn't suffice for statute.
And for those who don't know, that's what you got out of a tank is about a 4x4 box.
And remember that $100 fine, like I said, we're not looking at it. There's more severe consequences by not taking the time and clearing your windshields, right? Getting in a vehicle accident or not seeing somebody cross the road or seeing something that comes up and you can't be a defensive driver, right? So the consequences are a lot higher than a $100 fine at the end of the day.
And, you know, it applies as well to things that some folks have got dangling off of the rear view. I had a friend, I was a passenger in their vehicle, and I had to ask him, can you even see out my side of the windshield? So many different things dangling from that rear. First off, I couldn't figure out how the heck that thing was still up there. So much weight on it. Good glue. But you got to take that into account. A lot of folks I've seen put stuffed animals up on their dashboard. That's dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. Don't obscure your line of sight, folks. Windshields are that big for a reason. On that, I want to thank you both for coming in this morning. We've talked about some very serious issues, but we've had a couple of good laughs, too. Yeah, so I always appreciate you guys. Thank you.
No, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Ready to level up your career?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, our people are our greatest strength, and we're hiring full and part-time tellers to join our team.
Enjoy great pay, outstanding benefits, and a culture that empowers and supports you every step of the way.
Because at First Federal, we invest in you with the tools, training, and opportunities to grow both personally and professionally.
Take the next step at eFirstFederal.bank and discover a career that truly invests in you.
First Federal Bank and Trust is an equal opportunity employer.
Winter's almost done. The grass is getting ideas. And your mower's sitting there bushed from last year's battle with your lawn. You got to get it to Hando Service Center for the back-to-life tune-up. Fuel system cleaned, blades sharpened, oil oiling, and spark plug sparking so when you turn that key, your best buddy is ready to do lawn battle again. Riding mowers, pushers, the whole lawn army. Get ahead of the battle before it gets ahead of you. Hando Service Center. On Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
Do you struggle to hear or hear ringing, buzzing, or hissing that won't go away? That could be tinnitus, and you're not alone. Hi, this is Elizabeth from EBA Hearing, and I have good news. Today's advanced hearing aids and innovative, proven therapy like Lanier use sound and gentle stimulation to reduce tinnitus awareness. Relief starts with a conversation. Call EBA Hearing to schedule a hearing loss or tinnitus evaluation today, because silence shouldn't feel so far away. 674-8920. That's 674-8920.
Your car does a lot for you, getting you to work, hauling kids, driving in Wyoming weather. So when it needs service, trust the experts at Midas. Midas repairs brakes, battery, exhaust, steering, air conditioner, radiator, suspension, starters, charging system, fluids, tires. Midas does it all, and they do it right. Right now, the savings are strong. Buy one oil change, get one free to use by March. Plus, save $100 on a set of four tires. For full service auto repair, see Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan. A touch above the rest.
The following message is presented by the Home Loan Center of First Federal Bank and Trust on Coffeen Avenue.
Hi, this is Mallory with the Sheridan Hawks High School hockey team. Sheridan Amateur Hockey is looking forward to hosting the high school JV State Hockey Tournament at the Whitney Rink M&M Center February 27th through March 1st. We want to thank our major tournament sponsors.
Special thanks to the Ice House, Sheridan Wild Sports Cards, and Teriyaki Madness for being our bench sponsors. See you at the rink.
Save money, get local merchandise from Hot Buys, the place to shop on SheridanMedia.com. Every Thursday, today, SheridanMedia.com places items for sale at big savings, up to 50% of retail value. Click on the Hot Buys banner on our website and see the items for sale today. It's a great way to shop local and save money. Restaurants, entertainment, health and beauty, and a lot more. But when they're gone because bidding ends tonight at 8 p.m. on SheridanMedia.com.
From Billings to Buffalo, this is the News Talk Station, FM 103.9 and 930 AM, KROE.
K.
K-R-O-E, Sheridan.